We're partnering with NOCD to raise awareness about OCD.
OCD is more than what you see on TV and in the movies. Imagine having unwanted thoughts about your relationship stuck in your head all day, no matter how hard you try to make them go away.
That's relationship OCD. It comes with unrelenting, intrusive images, thoughts, and urges about your partner or loved one.
If you think you may be struggling with relationship OCD, there's hope.
NOCD offers effective, affordable, and convenient OCD therapy. NOCD therapists are trained in exposure response prevention therapy, the gold standard treatment for OCD.
With NOCD, you can do virtual, live, face-to-face video sessions with one of their licensed, specialty-trained therapists. It's affordable, and they accept most major insurance plans.
Breaking the relationship OCD cycle takes effective treatment. To get started with NOCD, go to NOCD.com to book a free 15-minute call.
Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Nikki.
Welcome to Swipe Fat.
Where dating's hard.
But dating when you're fat is even harder.
You know what I feel like a lot of people need right now?
What?
To find their main character energy.
Totally.
Don't you feel
like,
that way?
Well, totally. It's the end of the year, so I feel like everyone's lost.
The plot.
Everyone's lost the plot. It's like, how do I just get through the holidays?
How do I survive?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we should be doing more than surviving.
Yeah, we gotta thrive.
It's also cuffing season. I feel like we're acting like it's the end of the year already, like because like in our heads, it's like Christmas. And it's just the start of cuffing season.
True. So how do we get that main character energy?
We're about to find out.
Yeah, today we have a guest on who you guys have met before, Jamie Varon. She is known for writing her amazing book called Radically Content, all about like being satisfied in a dissatisfied world, and how to like set boundaries and all this good stuff. So if you haven't listened to that episode, I would definitely recommend going back and listening to that.
Maybe pause.
Go back and listen to it. And then come back and listen to this one because she found her main character energy and then wrote a book about it. Now, here's the thing, though. It's fiction, not nonfiction.
It's fiction. And we love a plus size fiction romance.
Exactly. And that's what this is. It's all about finding your main character energy on a lovely little vacation to the French Riviera. We love that moment. So
take us there now.
Exactly. Jamie's going to take us there. So yeah, we're excited to have Jamie on to talk about her new book, and maybe something that you can put on your holiday wish list.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
How's it doing? Like,
yeah.
Is it doing well?
It's good. Yeah. I think it's getting out there. And I, you know, there's some things going on behind the scenes that are really cool. Like I got that, I was chosen for the Once Upon a Time book club box, which is really cute. Like they give these little gifts for like certain pages of the book, and it's for their like up all night New Year's book. And so I was like, oh, that's good. It's kind of a good book for New Year's. It's got some uplifting messages.
We were
so
literally just saying that in the intro.
Oh, fun.
Just like, you know, everyone needs a little dose of main character energy right now.
Definitely. I think so. Yeah. So that was cool. And yeah, books are interesting. You know, you never know where the thing is going to go. I also think it was a big swing for me, like to go from nonfiction self-help into fiction. It's kind of like, I got some messages from people being like, I didn't know if this was going to be good. And I was like,
savage.
Okay. I'm like, tell me the truth, babe.
You're like, but it was good, right?
Right. I mean, that was thankfully the answer, the rest of the message. But, you know, they were like, you know, it doesn't always translate. If you're good at one thing, you're not. And I'm like, well, fiction is my first love. So, right. You know, I was always going here. It just, mm-hmm. everything else was some tangents and trying to get up the nerve and finally do the thing that's like the scariest thing to do. Totally. You know?
Well, and that's so exciting.
I know. How are you two?
Yeah, good. Busy.
Good. Busy. Yeah. Yeah. Trying to be content.
Right. constant trying for that.
Yeah.
Constant effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Just been really busy, you know? I hate it. It's like work, but you know. Yeah.
Right. That's how we've all been.
Yeah. Morning. I think that's how we all, like, everybody is, unless they are, they are healthy and their job isn't their life, you know?
I'm actually on a total not work mode right now.
Are you?
Which is, it's very strange. I found myself in a bit of a pause with a lot of things that are happening currently. Like, there's just a lot of things that I'm waiting on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm not going to stress myself out. I'm just going to be on like in totally random kind of like rest sabbatical situation. And I'm like, I'm doing it. You know, and I have a very hard time being idle.
Same.
I'm like, it's not my best look, but I'm like, you're going to learn, because there's nothing I can like, there's not a lot that I can do right now. I'm sort of in a lot of a waiting period with a lot of things. What I found in this new career of mine as a novelist and storyteller is, man, things take a long time. Yeah. So, you know, I got to get comfortable in the waiting for the email to come in. I'm like, okay,
gosh,
I will just go do something else, I guess, in the meantime.
Yeah, I would be so bad at that.
I'm not great at it. Yeah, my mind is likes to have constant stimulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah. So I'm on the not work mode, which is shocking.
Are you watching TV? Are you binging things? Do you need recommendations? We watch a lot of TV.
Oh my God. I mean, I love TV. I'm binging all the things always. Okay. I'm reading, which is nice. But I have like kind of a rule, you know, I mean, I can't like start the day with the TV and you know, it's like, unless it's like the weekend, I don't know, that sort of plays with my mind too much. I'm like, okay, you got to get up. You got to do some things.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, is two okay? Can I get on the couch? I like negotiate with myself. I'm like, is two good? What did I do today? Okay, I cooked lunch. Yeah, I'm good. Okay,
I accomplished something.
I'm like,
time for the TV.
Right. Awesome. I mean, it's like the only distraction that actually works. And I'm off social media right now.
Oh, I saw that. You've popped on and then popped back off.
Yeah, and so that's something that's not part of my life right now, which is not, it's a definitely a thing that used to be part of my life in a big way. So I'm just like, I'm sitting with myself and it's,
sometimes that's hard.
It is hard, but it felt necessary. You know, a lot of things happened at once. It's like all the things that I had wanted to happen sort of like windfall happened at once. And I was like, I think I just need a moment to kind of process this and take it all in. You know, when you go through that, it can be very easy to just, okay, you got to keep going. You can't let the momentum stop and this. And then you're like, just exhausted.
Burnt out. Yeah.
So burnt out. I mean, it's so easy for me to get burnt out because I just never notice when I need to rest. Cause I'm just like, you can't rest. If you rest, you'll rest for 20 years. You know, it's like, you know, this crazy fear. But instead I'm like, okay, well, I need to take a moment and just like kind of process and then decide how I want the next chapter of whatever's happening
to look,
how I'm going to feel, you know?
Well, it's exciting. Let's get people to read this book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love the book. obviously, I wrote it.
Give us like a rundown of what the book is about at its core.
Yeah. At its core, it's about a woman in her 30s named Poppy Banks who has a lot of dreams, but has really given up on her dreams, herself, and just life in general. She's plus size and her, you know, has a very hard relationship with her mom where, you know, like a millennial with the boomer parents, you know, very yeah. millennial story. The mom thinks that she's being nice and being mm-hmm. protective and thoughtful, but is actually being cruel about her weight. And, you know, so she's down on herself and her aunt passes away and leaves her this, mysterious invitation to the south of France where Poppy goes and realizes she stands to inherit her aunt's villa that she didn't even know about. And it is then adventure from there. As like the thing that I really wanted to show and the reason that I wanted it to be in the south of France is like you can be in this absolutely gorgeous place, but like if your mindset and you're not feeling deserving of it, like you don't even know you're in the gorgeous place. Like
right.
she fights all the good things that come her way. And I really just felt like I had read a lot of books where people seem like they receive their good things really easily. And I'm like, how? I need yeah. to understand how. I'm like, I fight myself. I'm like, I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid of success. I'm afraid of all the things. And so I was like, I want to see that journey and I want to have these like really heightened places where it's like the south of France. You get a villa in the south of France, of course, every one of your problems will be solved. And it's like, no, you know, and,
right.
and then I also wanted to show, a plus size character where weight loss is not the narrative
yeah.
at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's things that she struggles with when it comes to her own self-perception, which I thought was something I really wanted to touch on in my first novel. Not sure if that will continue to be the theme in my other novels. Like I might be leaning towards more like body neutrality where it's just yeah. like not really discussed. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it feels like great to think of that. But this one, it just, that's how the character popped out to me. And it just felt so important to show her journey as like, she's receiving good things. She's got a romance. She's got, you know, in the romance, even like, there's just no talk of her body in any kind of way
okay.
Within that romance. And it's just felt very important to me to make some like very intentional choices on how this character goes through the story and that we see like a character arc with her where she really does earn her self-love mm-hmm. instead of, you know, sometimes it's just left out. I don't know, in romance for me, a lot of times I'm like, how do they just accept and receive and fall in love and mm-hmm. believe the person? And
yeah,
and like is that just like a thing that happens with women who grow up plus sized or, you know, fat or, you know, like, right. what is it? Because I read these things and I'm like, man, any of those points, I would be, why is this happening?
No, right. Like,
yeah. why?
Are you sure you like me?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, are right. you sure? Should I, yeah. like, I, are you not embarrassed to like me?
Right.
Or, I mean, obviously I don't really think that now, but you know, I understand that those still exist. And I'm like, I just never really, to me, those weren't relatable, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe that's just my experience, but I just never really got it. And so it was hard for me to get into a lot of romance books where they kind of just kept with the same stereotypical, you know, narratives, because I was like, well, this wouldn't happen for me, or I can't get into this and it would take me out. And so I thought that was just really important to write and, you know, have them go to Paris. And I mean, I'm not spoiling anything, but you know, it's just
well, also where they have like the confidence right away, right, where it's like sort of like this innate, which I don't think is not a thing that some people have. Like, I think there are mm-hmm. people who just are that way and like don't think that way at all. But sometimes I'm like, these characters are always so confident in, yeah, like receiving everything, I guess, is like what you're saying, sort of because they're so confident that they are worthy of like love. And I just think that's like a, I don't know, I have a hard time with that, you know, where I'm like, I don't know.
Well, they're so confident in everything, like yeah. all across the board. And it's like, we, you know,
yeah, like,
as humans, we're confident in certain areas, but there's usually one area where yeah. we're like working on and we like right. question things.
Right.
I know. I've been rewatching like Gilmore Girls and I'm just like, everyone has the nerve. Everyone is speaking their mind. Yeah. Everyone is so confident. Yeah. Everyone is open to, there is not a people pleaser among them.
Right. For a little bit. For a little bit.
Yeah. But still, she's still kind of like more forthright than most teenage girls.
Teenagers, I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like where she's just like in people's faces being like, do you like me? Are you into me? Like all of this. I'm like, so it's hard for me sometimes, you know, and I, that's been one of the little like critiques of the book is that like they don't like Poppy because she's not confident. Oh. And I'm like, well, sometimes don't we need to see that though? Like we kind of need to see someone who's not this like larger than life personality that just like can speak their mind and do everything like so boldly. And, you know, I can't really relate to that always. Like I definitely relate to people who have more hesitancy and think things through or second guess and overthink themselves. So, you know, I sometimes with these like super bold characters, even though I overcome my fear, you know, eventually, but at first I'm like, I don't know, you know, I get really hesitant. And so, yeah, I think that was really important to show that like, you know, someone who earns their confidence and sees that their confidence gets built from like doing the things that feel like risks for them, you know, that real inner journey, it felt as though that hadn't been shown. I mean, it's obviously that does happen in books, but like, I hadn't seen it in this way where someone has to, you know, like we talk about it. I mean, of course they say you don't, it's not like you have to love yourself in order to let someone love you. I mean, I think that's an overused cliche,
yes,
but it makes it easier, you know, it's definitely, it's easier to be in relationship with someone. It's easier to have the career that you want, all the things that you want when you believe you deserve it,
you know, and are worthy of validation. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes everything easier in that sense. I mean, not like completely breezy and easy, but at least like, I just think like without your worth and without knowing that you deserve exactly what you want and your standards being high in anything, like it makes it harder. So maybe having that doesn't exactly make everything easier, but not having it definitely makes things harder, at least in my experience.
Yeah, it's definitely more of an uphill battle.
Right.
Yeah, than a like straight road where
you're right
walking along and maybe like something pops up in your way, but it's like it's like more laborious when you don't have all the tools to get to the end result. Laborious.
Yeah.
Great word.
Thank you.
English major. Baby's here. You're like, I'm just gonna throw every word out there. I don't think I've ever heard that word. Okay.
Wow. Great. That's fine.
I learned something.
It's not used in speaking too much. I mean, Alex really pulled it out.
Yeah.
It's definitely more of a written word, I guess. Okay. So let's talk about like when you were writing the book, did you feel like you saw yourself in the character, Poppy? Like, when you were writing it, were you like, oh, I see a little bit of myself, or I'm purposely sprinkling myself in there?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely relate to the character a lot. And I wouldn't say that I wrote directly from myself, but there is definitely a good amount that I was like, you know what? I understand how this feels, you mm-hmm. know? And I think, you know, I've heard that before, that like a lot of people's first novel, it's like, you know, it's what they know. Like, you yeah. write what you know.
Right.
And then you get to like the next thing that I'm working on is not me at all. Like, it's like the opposite of me, which is right. so fun to deal yeah. with. But I made sure, you know, because I didn't really want it to be like people thought it was me. You know, mm-hmm. I wanted to make it different. That's another reason why I created some of the other, like the writer's retreat and the aunt. Like, I don't have a magical aunt like that would send me off.
Right.
At least that I right. Yeah. If only. I'm like, not an aunt of mine would send me to France for a villa. That's for sure.
Like, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. It really would be. I did a lot of, because I wrote it like, you know, September 2020 is when I started it. It was like lockdown in LA, so bad, mm-hmm. stuck in my little apartment. And I was just like, I need to escape. Like, I wrote this as such an escape, and everything was very wishful thinking. Like, people have asked me, they're, you know, because she ends up realizing that she's going to inherit a writing retreat too, and this like very prestigious writing residency, and they're like, did you go to one? Is that how you, like, where is it? Are you gonna start one?
Like, start one.
I literally made it up.
Yeah,
like, I made
guys, it's fiction,
right? Like, I made it up. I mean, I get that, like, maybe someone thought that, but I'm like, no, I just sat there and I was like, what would be like a really cool thing for her to stumble into that then I can also bring in some other like cool female characters to yeah. have things to say. And I was like, I guess that would be the coolest thing to me, is like going to a villa in the south of France and just being able to write and like have snacks all the time.
Yeah,
someone
I was gonna say Parisian, but you're not in Paris. Yeah, some French snacks. Goûte. That's another
right.
Goûte is French for snack.
For what?
Snacks.
For snacks.
Mm-hmm. I went to, my school was founded by French nuns, so mm-hmm. we had goûte.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Oh, that's a story.
It would be like French, or I mean like ice cream, or like sherbet. It was like pink sherbet. It was very random. Anyway, it was always after
it was
church.
French.
The goûte was the French nuns, which I don't know. So like, there's always these like weird traditions, and they always had French names. Always. Mm. We used to play like cache-cache, which is basically just like this game where you like run and hide. But I think French.
Also drink wine.
I mean, at church?
No. Like, so there was just
at school.
Claire,
no,
Condiment Claire. I don't know if you guys follow her. She just posted about an article and did this whole paper on when she was in college. Like, kids used to drink like almost a whole bottle of wine during the day, and then
in
like,
France, yeah,
yeah,
but that's
yeah.
legal there. It's not legal here.
Well, it's not. Yeah, it's not legal anymore. They stopped it. So I was just, you know, just asking if that was.
Well,
a thing.
I think in France they can drink at 16. Right. Mm-hmm.
But they were like in kindergarten drinking a bottle of wine.
Well, that all
makes
drink water.
It makes nap time a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just chugging it. Okay. Drink up, kids. Nap time is coming.
Yeah. I know. Honestly, I know in the medieval times, we were going way off book here, but
yeah,
in medieval times, people would drink beer instead of water because it was cleaner.
Yeah, that's why they were drinking wine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh.
And that does make sense. It's like purified. It's gone through a process.
Right. You wouldn't
just
get
slightly
sick.
Poisonous.
Right.
You wouldn't get sick.
Right. Like, I mean, I don't get a buzz from water, but yeah, you know, it's fine.
This girl posted a TikTok. It was like, I would never regularly just drink, you know, 4 cups of grape juice. But, you know, if it's in a barrel for a period of time and it's slightly poisonous, I'll drink 4 of those. Right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Perfect. Exactly. Okay, sorry. Back.
Yes. We digress.
Okay, so how would you like define main character energy from like your perspective? Like, we know what it usually means in, I don't know, TikTok.
Social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the title. I've gone back and forth on the title because when I thought of it like 2 years ago, it was not all over social media, you know. Now, by the moment it came out, I was like, man, this has gone to be a bigger thing than I expected, you know, like,
right.
It was just a thing back then. But anyway, how I define it is like, I mean, you give a shit about yourself. Like, you care about the things you want to do. You put yourself in some sort of priority position. I think I'm happy that it seems like a lot of women and girls in the like younger generations are seeming like they seem to do that. I just grew up personally. I grew up as like, you're the sporting character as both a woman and a plus size woman, especially. Right. It was like, you don't really matter. And so my whole thing, my whole life has been like, well, I'm going to make myself matter. Like whatever culture says, I don't really care. But like, I mean, I do care because it obviously affected me, but to where it's going to dictate what I do and how I perceive myself, that was going to take some work. But like, it's like, you matter. And I think it's become kind of a thing now of like, now there's like main character syndrome and the main character energy. And I'm like, all right, so now we've got a kind of like a negative connotation to it, which is not like ideal when that's your book cover and book title.
Right.
But you know, it's more like the positive sentiment behind it. Not like you're the main character of the world and you're so self-centered that like no one else matters. I mean, that is not my favorite thing. Definitely not my favorite thing on TikTok, where it's like, we are losing common decency and like how to treat each other in public. But that's really not what this is. It's more just like putting yourself in a priority position and caring about your dreams, and definitely not saying like, oh, I'm over 30, so like I don't get to matter anymore, or it's too late, or like I've fallen behind, or, you know, all the things that we're kind of taught, you know, and, or like, okay, I'm don't fit this like conventional norm, so I don't get to matter as much. And it's like, well, even if society tells us that, like, we have to make our own decisions and act as if that's not what we believe, you know? Like, I just don't choose to, I haven't like found that people that really follow very closely to societal status quo are like super happy, thriving people. So I'm like, I'm not going to follow the societal status quo, because that doesn't seem to be making a lot of people happy and joyful and like themselves. Like, if anything, I feel like following the status quo, you become like a hateful, bitter, sad person who just judges other people for not fitting the status quo as you think it is, because you get superiority over that. So I'm just like, no thanks. So for me, that's really what it is. You know, it's like, you matter. And at the time that I wrote it, I was like, I'm just not seeing this a lot. I'm seeing a lot of women like refusing to take pictures of themselves, or, you know, like refusing to believe that like their life is important and they don't have to be like sacrificial and constant martyrs to other people. And, you know, at least that's what I saw with a lot of the women I knew growing up, you know. I was like, which is why also I created the Aunt Margot character, because I was like, I love older women characters who are just living life on their own terms, totally. You know, quirky and just doing the thing and not following all the rules. Cause I feel like so often we just see these characters that, they like lose their light slowly, like leaks out of them.
Yeah.
And I like to see women at all ages, like, keep their light about them. It's kind of like come up to a lot of different definitions, but that was my ethos going into it to write it. And like what it kind of morphed though, because at first I didn't write it with that title. I wrote it as just the title was Poppy. Mm-hmm. You know, like I just, yeah. It was her story, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of morphed because I was like, well, I guess this is the story I'm telling, and it kind of happened through the editing. And so, you know, then some of the things came in of like the do it for the plot and like, you know, kind of making it bookish. And it's weird when you write, like how many things get added in the editing, like how many little details that you wouldn't have ever thought of, which has shown me like the first draft is really nothing. Like the pressure that I used to put on the first draft is now hilarious. 'Cause I'm like, I don't even know anything about anyone in the first draft, you know, like characters just, I like, for example, in when I wrote the first draft of Main Character Energy, I, you know, it's not a spoiler, but like the love interest meets her at the airport, you know, and I thought it was just going to be him at the airport, but then in pops this like dog and Uncle Sebastian, and like, I didn't even have them plotted in or anything. And I was like, oh, this is magical. This is so fun. Like you just, these characters just, if you open yourself up to that process, like I do, it's very like, hello. Oh, hey. Okay. Now you're in this story. And like, you know, you just add these random people into it who just come to life as you write it. And it's like, there's a few things that were just added that through the editing, I'm like, I could have never thought of that. So that's, it's really helped me, I guess, like, recognize that like the first thing of anything doesn't have to be good.
Yeah.
And as someone who like had debilitating perfectionism for like 10 years and didn't let myself really do the things I really wanted to do, 'cause I was like, what if I'm bad at it?
Right.
It's like that was the worst thing I could possibly be, was bad at it. Right. Even to myself, you know, and it's like, really, that's the worst thing. Like, what if you just start? And, you know, like, as you guys, I'm sure you guys know, like doing the podcast, the first episode, it's like,
yeah,
what am I doing here?
I know. We always tell people like, don't listen to those.
Actually, no, the first episode you can listen
to. First episode is fine. I think it's like 2 through 15, like maybe.
Yeah. Right. Do a skip. Yeah. Do a skip ahead to 16.
We've really grown a lot, you know? Grown in our thoughts. We've grown in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can't get to the place you're at now without those. And I just totally missed that. I don't know. For a long time, I just, you know, I'd sit down and if the first sentence wasn't good, I'd be like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, gotta.
For 5 years. For 5 years. Okay, I need a break.
Well, I think a lot of what people do that with dating too.
Yeah.
The fear of like it not being perfect or like going on one bad date and then you stop forever, like for a long time. I think that's very much the syndrome of dating too.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. It definitely is. I mean, and we do, because we do it in own so many things, you know, we take that because we're like, you know, when you're afraid, which obviously, like, I don't know anyone who like dates and they're not afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them. Those are the people we're talking about that just have the A+ confidence right out the gate. But probably not the same for like 99% of people. So like when you're afraid,
99.9.
Right. Exactly. When you're afraid, you know, you like everything has more weight to it and you're like looking for a reason to get out of it or, you know, trying to figure out like, you know, you're just like so quick to take everything personally. And then you start to realize like, I don't know, I think the gift has been just like letting myself be bad and awkward at things, you know, and like letting myself not know how to do something right away. Like I just started like, I took some cooking classes recently, like some baking classes, and I'm probably not going to bake much, but I just wanted to like be bad at it, you know?
Yeah.
Like I didn't even know how to turn on the mixer, you know? And in the past that would have been something that like was really like, I don't know, it would make me feel something even like in the class. Yeah. Like, yeah. Inadequate or like, oh my God, embarrassed or shy or something. And instead I was like, how do I turn on this damn mixer? You know, like, I don't even know. Like, how do you do it? Or like, how do you fold this? Or how do you knead it? Or whatever we were doing. And it was just very liberating because I was like, I am a true negative experience beginner here, you know? And it was nice, you know, I like it. I like the feeling of, because I think it builds up that tolerance in every other area too.
Yeah.
Like if you're willing to just be like bad at shit right away, and you know, if you just keep doing it, you're going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what you said, Nikki, like it's, you take that one thing, you know, and it doesn't work out. And you're like, okay, well, I'm done. I got to get, I can't do this.
They're all going to be this way.
Right. But like anything good, dating, creative work, anything that we do that we really want, like to live in that discomfort is so important. And I personally used to avoid discomfort so much. Like I took that as a sign I was doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like, the sign that I was learning, just the same way that like self-doubt now, I'm like, oh, I'm doing something new. Like I'm in the really gross space where I have to just, I'm not where I want to be yet. And I don't know who I'm becoming yet. And it's just doubt, you know? And sometimes those things were just like, I don't know. I am a person that I was listening to this author of mine that I really, really like. And she admitted, she was just like, I get discouraged very easily. And I was like, oh, that's so refreshing to hear that. You know, we always hear these like, I never give up. You know?
Yeah,
and
it's like, right.
Like, yeah. I think about giving up like once a week.
Right. I know. Like, I was like, I don't know. Would it be easy to just quit and own a cheat shop? That sounds like a much better life.
Somewhere. That's your version of the thing. Yeah.
I'm quitting. Yeah. I know. It's still doing something hard, I guess. But in my mind, I'm like, that sounds easier.
Right. There's not like an emotional attachment to being good at cheese.
Just a shit ton of physical labor.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Right.
You just got to show up, do the cheese making as much, you know.
I think that we like, a lot of people don't like trying new things or doing the things that make them uncomfortable because it opens you up to criticism. And as fat women, we don't like opening up the door to that because we just like it. It also lends itself to be criticized for the thing that we're like so nervous about, which is our weight. So I think it's like, I need, at least for me, I know that like sometimes perfectionism is that, it's where it's sort of like, I don't want to be made fun of. Right. Like I know as a kid, I was like so scared of being made fun of by boys. So like once I went to an all-girls school, I was like a totally different person, right? Because I wasn't like scared of like a boy making fun of me for getting an answer wrong or saying something super smart. Or I don't know, you know, like there's all, how old are you when you're 12? Like there's so many things that you're scared of that are stupid, right? That you don't care about later on. But I think I was like so terrified of that stuff. But that bleeds into other ways where you're like, I just don't want someone to make fun of me for the thing I'm most scared of, and that is that I'm fat.
Yeah. Right.
And if I'm bad at this, then it can be like, well, it's because you're a fat bitch. And then it starts going down this like line of like, shit, is it because I'm fat? You know, and usually it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I got upset at work today because somebody basically told me I didn't do my job. Like, and I like now hearing you talk, it was me thinking, well, he thinks I'm lazy.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm lazy and I'm fat and lazy, and you can't be fat and lazy. Like kind of like,
yeah,
it always comes back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so true. I mean, I don't know about you two, but I was bullied.
Oh, I was
for my weight. Yeah. So even that too, like, I don't really think that I am that worried about criticism on my weight it's more like that, like phantom pain of like the first time I remember being noticed was a negative notice. Like I had to work through, like after my book came out, like my novel, and I mean, even Radically Content, I had to work through so much fear of being seen because I had these like my negative, I was only seen for so long in school for that negative thing, you know, that like the one person, like in middle school, the one person of course it was PE, the one person that paid any real attention to me was to just bully me and make fun of me. And I mean, part of the reason I didn't write books for so long, I think, was the fear of like bad reviews, which is, it's not even like the review would say anything about my weight. Although reviews of Radically Content have, which I'm like,
they have.
Yeah. Like people are weird, but I mean, it's fine.
Doesn't even have anything to do. Okay.
I know, but they're like, you know, she doesn't seem like she's like, it's either I didn't go into like my body image enough or that I don't seem like fully healed. And I'm like, I don't pretend to be fully. Yeah. I'm like, all right.
Who is ever fully healed?
God knows, not me. And anyway, that wasn't my intent, but you know, but like, it's that kind of remembering of that pain. And any of, and what you're saying, Nikki, is so right. It's like, not only is it like the laziness, it's there's so many negative associations with fatness that it's like, pick one, you know, like just all the things that can just come up. I mean, I remember when I was starting to get like, you know, some reviews coming in about main character energy, terrified to be, you know, reviewed in that way, to see anything negative. And it's wasn't necessarily, I think I didn't connect it quite yet into to like my weight that people were going to say something about that. It was more like just that fear of like being noticed, being rejected, being seen. It's like all the things, you know, because usually if you're fat, like if you're noticed, it's not always a positive thing to be noticed in growing up. Like now I don't really have those negative associations like in person too much, but like, you know, growing up, that was my terror. I was like, I would rather be invisible, you know, than be seen in that way. Because when I get seen, people are awful, you know? So yeah, I mean, all of that gets tied up in, you know, all the stuff like about, like, you know, what I've recognized with like any of the things we're talking about, anything that requires discomfort or requires that you do get out of your comfort zone, like you have to deal with all those fears that come up.
Yeah.
That you're like, I've spent my whole life avoiding dealing with these fears. And like, now I have to go through a laundry list of them. Great. I mean, yeah. And my biggest thing, like I started to, what fear came up a lot was I was like, wow, are we like not body positive in 2023 anymore? Like, you know, and I wrote this book as a celebration. And I was like, and then I go on TikTok and it's all about Ozempic. Trigger warning.
TW.
And I was like, and now we're back in the conversation of like, well, you don't have to be fat. You choose to be fat. And, you know, why don't you take Ozempic? And why don't you do something about this? Even though Ozempic like literally makes you ill. And which like, if you need to take it or want to take it, fine. But like, there are things that will impact, usually impact your life. And it's not really for me. And I was like, man, I wonder if people like, don't want the tick, like the, this romance, or they don't want to actually see, like, they might want to love their body, but they'd rather just read the same aspirational, you know, conventional stories over and over and over.
Right.
And that really, that was something that I contended with a lot, because I was like, whoa, I grew up wanting this so bad. Like, I wanted this book so bad growing up. And yeah. I'm like, is that not what people want now? Like, is it more, are we less body positive than we have been, you know?
I think we definitely have. But I think you're right that it's more that people don't want to sit in their discomfort. So if they have to read something where someone is going through that situation, sometimes people don't want to have to feel those feelings about themselves. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think you're right. Like, we need to have that. And I'm looking for a book like that. Like, I want to read about a character who's like doing the hard work, because like doing the hard work is how you improve, and it's how you get to your dreams and desires, right? Like, I don't know. I think like we definitely need a character like that. Like, I really liked the Kate Stamen, what's her
one to watch?
Yeah, I really liked that one because it was hard to read.
Yeah.
Because I saw myself so much in that character, because I was like, I would love to be on a reality show or something like that. But then it's like all the stuff you would have to like think about and deal with if you were on a show like that. And that's like what the book is about, right? Like her.
But they don't have that much of it in there.
There is. Like,
that was one of our complaints about the book.
I really liked, I thought she talked about it more. No, I think you're thinking of the other book.
Oh.
The one that's about
the Cinderella one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. She doesn't talk about it in that one.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. It's the, in Kate's statement, she talks about it a good amount. Like, she has a whole breakdown and like tries to leave the show.
Oh, yes. Because,
yeah. Because she's like trying to, like, she likes someone, but she's not sure that they like her. And then there was like a guy who like was only on the show because he wanted to be on the show, and he like thought she was ugly. You know, like, I think like there would be so much of that that would be happening. And I think reading it, I was like, oh, this is so much.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because I'm like, fuck, this would be hard. I think reading the Cinderella one, I'm like, oh, that's like the ideal situation where like nothing bad happens and everything's great and lovely. But it's sort of like, that's not reality. And I know, like, sometimes you want escapism, but I don't want escapism that much when it comes to like reading about someone like myself, you know, like, I want to dig in. So I'm excited to read it.
I mean, I loved One to Watch. I feel like reading One to Watch, because I think I read it either 2019, 2020, when it came out, I can't remember. And I was like, that inspired me to write mine, you know, because I was like, oh, you can really go there, you know, because it was hard to read
One
to Watch. It was, because you're like, I felt every feeling she felt, because that's exactly like, I would never want to be on a dating show because of that, you know? And it's like, I mean, I would love to see someone, you know, do it, but like, you would have to be like very secure in yourself and have a really strong sense of self to do that. And I would just, you know, personally, like, wouldn't even want to deal with it. I'm just like, you know, say what you will, you know, but I think like, that one really got me. And I felt like it was cathartic, but I think a lot of people, the way that I feel sometimes with, you know, like, I think a lot of people sometimes, even if they do struggle and they struggle with their body image, they are always, it's kind of like the way that people defend billionaires because they want to one day be billionaires, you know, like they don't want to, like, even though they'll never really ever become billionaires. Mm-hmm. Like, I think sometimes people, like women who struggle with their body image, they don't really want to look at it, and they don't even want to consider self-love or accepting themselves as they are, because there's such a promise of the before and after.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we grow up, when you're fat, you grow up absolutely obsessed with the before and after, you know, like most of us, at least I did, of the walking down the stairs moment, and you're changed, and everyone's like, oh my God, and all your problems are done, you know, that's the promise of the weight loss. Yes. And You know, I think some people still get really obsessed with that promise. And so they're like, I'm going to read about like when I'm thin, you know, and I'm going to like imagine myself when I'm thin.
Yeah.
And it's like, fine. I mean, sure. But I personally never found solace in that. It never really motivated me. It only made me feel worse. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I felt better when I learned to accept myself and actually let myself just like live and not be on the sidelines of my life anymore, no matter what my weight is.
Because I think when there's like that realization, there's like a little bit of grief that happens with that, because you're coming to terms with the fact that like you might never be skinny, or especially if you're going through like an anti-diet journey, like you have to like come to terms with the fact that like, okay, my one dream, which is like I think a lot of people's one dream, even women who are thin, is like to be thinner, to be smaller, and like you said, it'll fix all your problems.
Oh, that's so well put. It's the one dream.
Yeah.
And above all others.
Totally. And you have to grieve that one dream when you like start to accept your body, which is like a weird thing because it's like so much better to just accept your body. At least it felt very freeing for me, but the grief sucks because you're like, man, I don't know. It's hard to let it go.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard to let it go.
Yeah.
Especially when it's being reinforced.
And it's coming back around. Because, I mean, I think, I don't know if we ever talked about this on the actual podcast, but like when Ozempic came out, I hated that my gut reaction was like, maybe I should be on it. Because that's the old me coming out, you know, being like, it'll solve all your problems. You'll finally be thin. And it's sort of like, why did my brain immediately go there? And I like hated that, you know, but that's like, it's so hard to undo it all too.
Well, yeah, especially like that's what, I mean, that's the messaging. There's no industry without that. You know,
right.
Like even without that, of course, people's weight would fluctuate and people would do what they need to do depending on how they feel in their body. But they added emotional aspect of it and the worth aspect of it. And like, I had to get off TikTok because I somehow had ended up on some sort of random TikTok algorithm where all I saw were people going, you know, I lost weight and everybody was so much nicer to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, are people not nice to me? You know, like I started getting in my head.
Yeah.
And I was like, because people are, I find that people are genuinely pretty nice to me, like wherever I go. Like, you know, people were like, they open the doors for me. And I'm like, people open the doors for me though. Like, I was really in my head about it. You know, I was like, wait a second. You know, I was just really confused. And then because I always thought like, I don't know, maybe it's energy. Like, if you really don't like yourself and you don't like your body, you may emit a sort of standoffish energy. Yeah. Like you don't want to be seen. Yeah. You're kind of, you are like giving off the energy of invisibility in a sense. And then I would see comments that were like, and people say it's about energy, but it's not. And I'm like, whoa, okay.
Like, never mind.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, it wasn't even my comment, you know, I'm just lurking over here. And I was like, I got to get off TikTok. This is like, this discourse has discoursed too hard for this. Tell me, Nikki.
I will say something that recently I posted and it gave me a lot of hope.
Okay.
I would never post this again. I don't know why I posted it, but trigger warning. I went to the doctor and they told me that I should be eating 1,000 to 1,200 calories a day. I didn't go. It was a specialist, not my health at any size doctor. Don't tell me to get. I'm going to get comments telling me to get rid of my doctor. Different doctor. And I went to Sweetgreen and that was the first time in a very long time I paid attention to calories. And my bowl, the Harvest Bowl, was 700 calories. And I posted a little TikTok saying, wow, about what she said that I've never, and I hate that she got into my head. And like, I posted a, like, and also a burger, 700, like it was a whole dumb thing, but the there, yes, there was discourse in the comments, but the majority of people were like, that's so fucking wrong. What the hell? And like, it was thin women. It was women of all different men. It was people of all different sizes and being like, that's such diet culture bullshit. And I was like, wow. Okay. Because my parents literally were like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do to lose weight. And I was like, I didn't ask to lose weight. Like that wasn't like what happened. But also that's starvation, mom and dad. And then these people, I'm like, mom, you should go look at those comments. But that like gave me just a little bit hope in this like Ozempic world and all, where I'm getting cold call emails to promote it.
Oh my God.
Like, that's the like what we're in right now. And it just that it gave me a little hope for people to be like,
I love that.
Yeah, it's nice.
Eat food that makes you happy.
Yeah.
Eat good food.
You know, I think there is probably like, maybe it's less that like we're not body positive, but it's more like it's not the body positive of what it was, which was very like, I love my body, you know, like it was very like about the body. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think maybe people are becoming a bit more sensible of like all the messaging that we're getting on a constant basis and seeing all the things that we're being exposed to. Cause like, I still have hope. I just think they're like, there's a dying industry happening. Like, there's a lot of industries that are dying out and we're watching them. You know, I think there's a lot of things changing, but it's like Ozempic is definitely reviving these like this messaging. It's like Weight Watchers 2.0, you know, it's the same thing.
And now getting ads for Weight Watchers with a GLP-1 that they're teaming up together.
They are. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Weight Watchers bought. And like they bought one of
the
like semi-glutide or something.
Yeah, semi-glutide. Yeah, whatever it is. That it's a GLP one. Yeah. So
lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I was listening to a podcast about Ozempic, which was very interesting. That like the whole thing is, you know, it's gonna, you know, end the obesity epidemic and da 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 da. But like, it only lets you like you really only lose like. Best case, I think it was like 30% of your body weight, which like people are still going to be fat, losing 30% of their body weight. And like, they're going to be sick then. And these side effects are horrific. I mean, I had a doctor tell me to go on it when like they hadn't done my labs yet or anything. And they were like, you should consider this. And I was like, I feel so healthy and energized. Like, I'm not going to take something that's going to make me feel sick. And they were like, well, I think it's worth it. I'm like, I don't. Mm-hmm. Like, and she later came back to me and she was like, you know, I've had clients that have been on it and they have to, it impacts their work so much. They've had to like take time off of their job or they're pulling over on the side of the road to get sick. And I was like, and you want me to be on that?
Right.
Really? We've gone a little nuts with this. Like, I think it's a fad that's going to pass as quickly as it came. But I just think it has revived some of this old narrative that we had been past, I thought, you know?
Agreed.
And where it's now like, okay, we're allowed to be fat phobic again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've
been seeing a lot more of the glorifying obesity shit all over the internet. Like, is like a big, lovely surgence of people talking about that now.
They know what they mean.
Oh, I know they don't. Like, but it's so wild. But it's like that seems to be the thing that they've hooked into.
Or they love that. It's a really big word for them, you know?
Glorify.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get what that even means to them. Like, we're all supposed to just be like
embarrassed. You're supposed to be embarrassed. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be embarrassed that you
don't be seen.
Yeah, don't be seen. You let yourself go, like all that crap. You should hide. Be embarrassed. Yeah, you should be embarrassed. Be
yeah,
invisible.
Hide. Stay invisible.
Yeah. Don't go outside.
It's the thin people's world to be seen. And
yeah, like we did a TikTok about chairs, like how chairs are uncomfortable at restaurants and stuff. And it was like, if you can't fit in a chair, then don't go outside, was basically the message that we got all over TikTok. Like, what chairs can you fit in? Because we showed like a bunch of different chairs. But then get a glimmer of hope and you get some people being like, I literally never thought about this. Like, what chairs, what should I ask for so that my friends feel comfortable? Which I was like, that's nice, you know? And or people being like, I also hate sitting in high top chairs because they're just uncomfortable as shit. Like, why do we have these? You know? So it's like nice when those things do happen. You get some people on the right side of TikTok.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. It's wild. But yeah, don't go outside is the message.
Well, I think at the core of it, like the fat phobia is always back. It comes back to where it's like people sincerely believe that it's like a choice.
Yeah.
And have no fundamental understanding of health at all. Mm-hmm. And they have no idea how much their genetics have played a role in like how their body is. And so they have a probably completely warped understanding of how they eat and what they do. Like, I mean, how many people are just not active and they don't eat well at all in any way. And they just maintain thinness because they were born into a body that does that. And it's just like, I think it's just a sad state of affairs to like, be so judgmental. Like it's the last thing. It's one of the last things you can be like so openly judgmental about. And it's a so that was like how that connects back to the book was like that was kind of like the thing where I was like, oh man, you know, at the time, you know, when in 2020 I felt like people were really big on self-love. And then I think it has seemed in the last like 3 years or so, like as we've come out of the pandemic, people are like, it's more like, yeah, I'm on my self-love journey. Sure. You know, it's like kind of giving up on that a little bit. And I'm like, oh man, I keep going on that. You know, like I think the journey is important. So I think that was my only thing where I was like, huh. I wonder if like this meets the moment of 2023.
But maybe that's what we need. Like we need this moment where we bring it back to that, you know? Like I think when we talk about the fact that, you know, like we all need a little bit of main character energy because we're getting into like quarter four slump, you know, where everyone's like tired and like, you know, we feel like we're eating badly. I'm putting that in quotes because that's not a thing. And, you know, like we do need that like dose of main character energy and like self-love stuff because we're also getting into like New Year's resolution time where everyone is like talking about all that stuff where it feels like you need to change to be like loved and worthy and all that stuff. And I think like reading something like this where you create a character who does like work through a lot of that stuff is needed, you know, to like remind ourselves that like what we need to be focusing on is that main character energy, like where your dreams and desires are the most important thing, not what we look like.
Right. Like as we all, you know, grew up in the 90s and the 2000s, like it was just so focused on how you look. And that was like what you were told was like, that's your primary value. That's why the biggest dream is to be smaller because that's what it's supposed to give you. I'm like, don't want us to return there, you know, and go back to that place where that's where we are. You know, I thought we were kind of progressing and I'm sure that we are in many ways, like what you guys are saying about these comments and stuff, like that does give a lot of hope. Mm-hmm. It's like finally some reason and some sense in the madness.
Yeah.
Like you can use your brain for some things too, guys. Like it's okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think that was like the only thing. And I, because of that though, you know, I never wanted to write what is expected, and I don't want to write a novel that I feel like doesn't add to the conversation in some way or give us like, that's what my art has always been about, is like a different perspective and trying to kind of like transcend some of these expectations and cultural pressures and things like that. So it was very much the whole meaning of doing that. And that's what I'll continue to do in my books, because I think storytelling is an especially potent way of changing people's perspectives and minds. Like,
great.
I know it has done that for me. Like books have made me more empathetic and understanding more so than anything else. So, yeah. You know, I really want people to read it, because I really feel like it's an important book, and I put a lot of my heart into it, like a lot of it. So, yeah.
Where can people buy the book?
Anywhere books are sold, essentially. So, you know, it's published by HarperCollins. So it's out there in bookstores. And yeah.
We should go to our local bookstores, like the small ones by us, Alex, and we should go like put it in the front.
That's a good idea.
We'll do that.
You know, they should have it at the romance bookstore that just opened here.
They have it at the Ripped Bodice, but yeah, I mean, they should definitely have it at a place like that. I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to say who orders it, but because apparently I found out that 72,000 new books come out every Tuesday.
What?
That's so many.
Right. So if you want to like get sick, like I did when I found that out, I was like published.
That's books. Wild.
Uh-huh. I was like,
whoa.
Well, all right. I was like, that's a lot.
Well, I'll message the girl at the Last Chapter bookstore.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Thank you. Yeah, let's please request that. It.
Yeah.
I'll tell her that this episode's coming out. She's gonna be flooded with people. Mm-hmm. There's the people who live in Chicago, there's a new bookstore. It's like a romance only bookstore. Called The Last Chapter. It's in Roscoe Village. It's super adorable. And so everyone should go there and buy Jamie's book or ask for Jamie's book. Okay.
Please do. Please do. Oh my gosh. That sounds so cute, by the way.
It's
we have a romance only bookstore here in LA called The Ripped Bodice. And
I'm sure she got the inspiration from there, you know?
Yeah. It's so cute.
It's adorable.
But yeah, anywhere you get books, you can order it. You can request it at the library. And yeah. I would love for you to read it.
And then where can people find you once you come off of your Instagram?
Hiatus.
Yeah.
I'll be on Instagram at Jamie Varon. I also have my Substack called Plot Twist, and you know, my website is jamievaron.com. So that's going to have all my stuff too.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Sorry, say that again. Say that. No, you say that again.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, you too. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, thank you. It was so much fun. We always enjoy having a combo with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you too, both.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Follow along with us on Instagram and TikTok at Swipe Bat.
And if you're not a part of our private Facebook group, join that too.
Just search Swipe Bat Podcast.
And if you love us, make sure you subscribe and leave us a review.